the grounds of being pureed, like cranberry sauce, for instance. Mevarech alehem borei pri ha'etz. אף שדעת התרומת הדשא לצבור גם מחשבים כמשכן יוצאים, ובואר דעת המשכן אינם מחשבים פעול. So therefore, the Chazal Nish disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah and with Mr. Fried, and would say that on cranberry sauce you make a borei pri ha'adama, and on orange juice the appropriate bracha is borei pri ha'etz, since the principal function of the juice oranges is
to make it.
Yeah. That's the Tumas Hadesh. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't say this, but I think Lamaisa, since it's very hard to disagree with the Chazon Ish and the Tumas Hadesh and the Rashba, and there's no evidence that the Rush or anyone else seriously disagrees with this principle, namely that the convention, the issue is what is the actual principle name usage as far as Bracha is concerned. What is the main usage of this particular product, of this produce, of this fruit? That's the determining factor, and therefore, lemaisa, I suspect that the best thing to do is on orange juice you make a borei pri ha'etz, and on cranberry sauce you make a borei pri ha'adama. But on apple juice you make a shachol ne'evidbo. Cranberry juice, I don't know. Cranberry juice is not much cranberries in it, I think. Cranberry juice is mainly some cranberries and a lot of sugar, or apple juice, or something else.
Water.
Or sugar. Water, or grape juice. I don't
know. How do you add on a lot of water to the
sugar? What about
water?
Sugar is a big problem. Do we have the Rambam? The first Rambam himself disagrees with his predecessor. You have the famous Rambam there. Okay. The first one, the volume one. Well, the Abba, it's broken up that small. Thank you. This is Perek Chet Halacha Hei. הקנים המתוקים שסוחטים אותם ומבשלים מימיהם עד שיקפה ביבנה למלח. That's a good description of granulated sugar. Okay. כל הגאונים אומרים שמברכים עליו ברי פרי אדמה. Cane sugar, all of the גאונים say ברי פרי האדמה. ומקצתן אמרו ברי פרי העץ. Some call the sugar cane an eitz, and therefore it should be borei pri ha'etz. V'chein amru shehamotzei tzotam kanim mevarech borei pri ha'adama. V'ani omer she'ein ze pri, ve'ein mevarchin alav ela shehakol. Shelo yehe dvash elu hakanim shenishtane al yedei ha'ur gadol midvash tmorim shelo nishtane al yehei ha'ur mevarchin alav shehakol. So according to the Rambam, the bracha that you would make on sugar, if you eat sugar, I mean, I don't know whether people do eat sugar.
I don't.
But if people don't eat sugar, then certainly it's a shakon here involved. But
like a candy, yeah.
If the Rambam says that the sugar crystals have been sufficiently denatured and transformed, by this process, that it should be a shakol ne'evidbo. So it's hard to disagree with the Rambam's psak on this. I mean, according to what we were saying before, namely that if the principal purpose of this product is this particular usage, then there's a strong reason to agree with the Gaonim, whom the Rambam rejects, as saying that the appropriate bracha should be borei pri ha'adama. It's hard to imagine that we can justify borei pri ha'etz. But borei pri ha'adama makes a lot of sense, except for two things. One is that since the Rambam says that it's a shahakol, I don't think that, he says that the processing is sufficiently remote, and it's only an extract, and it's that it should be no different from the Dimash Tmarim, then it's hard to disagree with the Rambam on that. And secondly, I don't really believe that most people eat sugar. That is, it's you put it inside a candy with other ingredients, and then it's only, again, a partial ingredient, and certainly it's lost its its identity. You add it to the tea or something. People who eat the sugar straight from the bowl, I think, constitute a small minority, and therefore, again, one would say batla daitoi tzolkolad. So here, I would agree with the Radvaz that since the principal purpose of the sugar is not to be eaten as is, but only to be used as an additive towards something else, then it's hard to see that you could make anything other than a shakol on sugar. So again, if we're deciding the hilchot brachot halacha lemaisa, I would say that sugar is a shahakol for a number of reasons. One, out of respect for the Rambam. Two, out of the fact that there has really been a denatured process. But third, and I think most important, is that it's not meant to be consumed as is, but only as an additive. And when it's used as an additive, at least the pitching is maintained that it's not the principal ingredient. It may be that cornflakes really consist of 80% sugar, but the Kellogg Company is ashamed to tell you that, and therefore it's not sort of thought of as a principal ingredient in its own right.
But the tea itself, that should have a status of for a pre-water.
Why?
The tea, that is the way that tea is.
So that's a very difficult point. That's a difficult point. It's still only a small proportion. It's only a.
It's the water.
It's mostly water. It's only a small proportion of it. I don't know. I never heard anybody making the bracha other than a shako on the tea. And again, since it's an extract, and I have a whole lot of problems with tea. I mean. In terms of both, I certainly can't see that we should make anything other than a shahakol, again for this reason, because it's only a small additive to the water rather than being a main ingredient like in borscht or something of
this
nature.
But that is the normal usage.
That is the normal use. I know that is the normal usage, but still, for the same reason that the Rambam makes the shahakol on sugar, it's conceivable that would be. So that's one possible reason. On Shabbos, I don't know. I know the Rav was makil on using a tea bag and a plisheni on Shabbos. I can't buy that. I had many discussions with him on that point, then we never could come to an agreement. So that therefore, since this is the makam of a Rav, I'm not going to deliberately contradict his kula on the issue of using a tea bag in a cup on Shabbos, but I personally don't follow
You had already water in Shabbos.
No, the question is the tea bag. The question isn't the water. The question is taking a fresh bag of tea on Shabbat and putting it into the cup.
But it's not fresh.
That's less problematic. Less problematic. Okay. Now, what about the squeezing of orange juice on Shabbos? It's certainly not allowed. The question is it a chiyuv chatas? This was, let's take it one level back. We learned this Gemara last week, but let me remind you of it, and that is that the Gemara tries to establish, the Gemara, as we mentioned at the beginning of the Shiur, has sort of three categories. The category of Zaytim B'Anavim, which is prohibited Medioraita, and there's a Chiyuv Chatat. And then there's this intermediate class of things which are not mainly used for juice, but are sometimes used for juice. Those are the category of things which, as far as Brachot are concerned, we would make a Shahakol. But as far as Shabbat is concerned, it would be prohibited, although not asur midoraita. And then we have the last category of things which are not normally used for even moderately for juice. Example, strawberries or I guess in this country, raspberries aren't used all that much for juice, but strawberries are not practically not used at all for juice. Or what other would be a good example?
Syrup.
Strawberry
syrup.
Not that much.
No, more raspberry syrup.
Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, let me remind you, that that because of the fact that there was one major producer of pomegranate juice, they decided that pomegranates as a whole was considered something that is frequently used for juice. So, so on my page 4, we learned this Gemara a couple of weeks ago. The Gemara leaves this open a little bit. But the Gemara says, "Shobet Nanasya Baru Manachim Hayusah Hatim Rimonim." Amar Rav Nachman Halacha Kishobet Nanasya Baru Manachim. Amar Leor Rav Nachman Nasha Ben Nachman Tanahu. Kachitei Mahalacha Ki Hay Tana Besavalei Kishem Nanasya Ben Manachim Mishum Besavak Ben Nasha Ben Manachim Halacha Kimotel. Nanasya Ben Manachim Haviruba Da Alma. Is the fact that you have one major producer of pomegranate juice means that they constitute a majority of the whole world? And the Gemara says, "In the Tanan, the Makayim Kotsim Bekeren," is a Mishnah in Klayim, that if remember for Klayim it has to be something that's normally kept as a for either animal fodder or human consumption, but normally weeds or kotsim or thorns are not grown for the purpose of providing either human or animal fodder. So, makayim kotsim b'kerem. Rabbi Yehuda omer kadesh, Rabbi Chachamim omerim kadesh, ala davar shekamohu makayimim. V'yamar Rabbi Chanina, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, shekein ba'aravia makayimim kotsei sadot l'gam lehem. Because in Arabia they used to grow these as animal fodder. So what? In the case of Arabia, counts as a whole country. Here you should, if it's just one manufacturer of pomegranate juice, that should be negligible, and therefore the Gemara goes on to some other question. So the Gemara here seems to be distinguishing between one isolated producer and the whole country. In other words, if in Egypt, as in the time of the Radvaz, they were actually making lemon juice on a large scale, then you would not say, "Bat la daito et sokara." On the other hand, there's a famous other Gemara in a little bit earlier in the Masechet Shabbat, on my page 7. On the very last line, it says, "Itma hamotzi masui al roshel patur." If you carry something out on your head on Shabbat, you're not liable. The imtin saloma anshei hutzal osim came. In the city of Hutzal, that was the normal way in which they would carry things around was on their head. So the Gemara says, "Batlad da'atan etzal karada." We regard Anshei Hutzal as just being a weird place, and their custom is to be ignored, not to be taken into account.
Much more common. Much more common. A lot of roads on their head.
I see it all the time in Yerushalayim. Yumtin Saloma Anshei Hutzal Osinkein Batla Daitan Itzal Koladam Asvita Sod. Mashma, the implication is the Al Atwa Nami Amar the Batla Daitan. That you can even say that a whole city cannot establish a custom because of the fact that their custom is to be ignored. V'chein b'reish b'chol ma'arvin parech u'bavol ha'viruba di'alma for Hatanya, v'chein b'atar ha'chi parech u'pasoy ha'viruba di'alma, where in other words that a local custom was rejected as constituting a deciding factor, v'kasher, v'perek chavit, in the Gemara that we just studied last 2 weeks ago and tonight, Gabi Beit Benasha Hayusah Chtim Burimonim Uparach Beit Benasha Abi Ruba De Alma Umishani In Batanan Makayim Kotsim Bekeren Shekein Barabia Makayim Kotsim Bekeren Uparach Midami Arabia Atwa Hu Pacha Batla Daito Itzel Kalada. That there's a distinction between a locale and an individual. The Yeshlomar, so Tosus is trying to draw some line here. The Yeshlomar, the Hatam Chashuv Minag Arabia, There, the reason why the custom of Arabia was regarded seriously, the lachol ha'olam nami, im hayalahem rov gemalim, if in the state of Florida there was also a large supply of camels who eat this particular fodder, then you'd also grow the fodder. And therefore, the fact that in Arabia they have a custom that deviates from the rest of the world is not because their mentality is different, it's because their situation is different. And therefore, that custom can be an established custom, because anybody who would have a lot of camels would normally grow them. Aval Beit Menashe, the Chad Gavra, Batla Daito, if they're talking about one large producer, even he may have an oversupply of pomegranates which he can't possibly market, and the only thing that he can do with them is to make juice and sell bottled pomegranate juice. So it's true that if everybody else in the world had an oversupply of pomegranates, that they would behave in the same way. It's a logical form of behavior. Nevertheless, since it's only one individual, it doesn't establish a custom. Even though this is a logical custom, so Tosfos is saying that it's a difficult line to draw, but this is basically what Tosfos is saying. He's saying that there can be two criteria. You distinguish on the one hand between an individual and a community. An individual, no matter what he does, even if there's good reason for it, it doesn't establish a custom. He's an oddball. And then also you distinguish between a custom that's based on circumstance and a question that's based on mentality. And since there's no reason why in one place a person should carry something in his head and in another place he shouldn't carry something in his head, that's not a consequence of they have the same hands, they're built the same way, so it's not an issue of a change in circumstance, but it's an issue of just a change in normal behavior, then if this normal behavior is peculiar to a small region, it cannot establish a norm for the entire world. If, however, this small region is not because of a change in behavior, but because of a change of circumstance, then the principle is that we don't say batla daitoi so kaladam for a region. And that's more or less the operating principle. It's a difficult principle to work with. What time is it now? Maybe it's a good time to stop. All right, so we will stop here. I've left you with a Shulchan Aruch, which you can read for yourself, and the Egle Kal, and also the Chazon Ish on the issue of squeezing on Shabbat as well. So remember, next year is 2 weeks from tonight, not next week, I'll be waiting. And then after 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be